question again?
Yes. Ask me the question.
What's one of your happiest memories?
Being bitten by a mad dog. My happiest memories, I said, being bitten by a mad dog. My mind won't jump too quickly. Oh, Santa Margherita. Portofino. It was a lovely house we had. Lord Carnarvon's house, it was. Elizabeth's money went for that. We couldn't afford to hire that house. Do you remember that house? Yes. It was a beautiful house.
It was interesting how we got this lovely house in Villa Alta, because we first of all arrived in Cannes, and Baba didn't like the house that we were in. It was too cramped and too small. And so then Elizabeth and I went to the estate agent and said, have they got anything else they could offer us? Oh, they didn't think they had, but Elizabeth wasn't to be put off like that. She said, well, haven't you anything on your books or something? And then suddenly the man said, oh yes, he said, there is a very nice house, but the owner is in Paris. So then Elizabeth said, well, can't we get in touch with the man in Paris? Well, he said, you can wait if you like while I ring through, but I don't know whether I'll be able to contact him or not. Well, they were able to contact him, and so that Elizabeth was able to have that house. And now, which was that house that I was sitting at? Which one? Yes, the one in Portofino. And it was a most beautiful house, wasn't it? Just a gorgeous house. And if you've been to Portofino, you would realize what a beautiful spot it was. And it was there that we were with Baba for nearly 6 weeks.
I beg your pardon? Oh, yes. I can't jump all around the world in a minute. Yeah. Yes.
In Italy, did you dance for Baba there?
In India?
Italy. In Portofino.
My dear, at the moment I can't think of dancing. Oh, well, I mean, you're not asking about those awful things you did to me.
No, only happy memories.
Well, I'll tell you one very happy, unhappy one. This was in the beginning, and we were with Baba, and we went for a drive one beautiful morning, up into the hills. And when we got there, it turned foggy and awful. So we went into a restaurant, the village restaurant, where they had their coffee every morning, you know, the kind of thing. And we went and sat down, and Baba saw a gramophone, very broken down. And he said, ah, Margaret shall dance. I'd just learnt that you never refused your master anything, you obeyed immediately. And he had this gramophone turned on and then signaled for me to dance. And so I went hopping around all these tables and you've never seen anything so silly. There I was dressed up for the mountains, regardless of cost. I had my mountain clothes on, and I hopped round and round these tables, and the people began to say, what's she doing? And this went on until the gramophone was finished, until the record was finished. And I staggered miserably to my seat. And he said, well, now we'll have another. in another record. And I staggered around again. But that was one of my first ghastly lessons in obedience. I mean, obedience is all right, you know, turn the corner or do something like that, but when it comes to dancing in public like that, that was to learn, that was to, I think it was to teach me obedience. Not very funny.
Obedience. How did Baba teach you obedience?
Actually, I think the Italian holidays were the happiest, very carefree and happy, apart from just odd upheavals. And it was during the first visit to Italy that Baba did that wonderful trip to Assisi, when he said the destiny of the world for the next 2,000 years had been decided. We were left behind on this trip, and we heard all about it when they came back. Do you remember that, Baba? When Baba went to Assisi.
Yes. We didn't go.
Yeah.
Very few people did go.
I enjoyed being on, when Baba went on the rocks, and I didn't want to go bathing, so I used to sit with him, and the others were swimming, and for me that was a special time. Any time I was sort of just sitting quietly with Baba. I think some very happy times of when we just sat round him in silence.
Exactly. Mm. Some of the nicest times, really. He wasn't taking it out of us, and he wasn't teaching us to be what we are, what we're supposed to be.
And then one thing was when he went away to Rome, he took Kitty and a few others, and we got up this entertainment, which I would like Margaret to describe. And Baba was very, very pleased about that and really enjoyed it. Can you remember?
What was that?
When we got up that entertainment for Baba. And
theater?
You did a skit on Margaret and Meredith, a dance with an umbrella.
Was this the one at the theatre, do you mean?
Yes.
And then
we had another skit in which we were three old ladies sitting. This was at the piano.
Oh, yes, this is the piano.
And we were sitting knitting, saying, oh, we're looking forward to Baba speaking. He's going to cable us soon that he's breaking his silence. Margaret was dressed as Norina.
No, I think. We were still knitting.
Knitting.
Saying.
And then...
and who was it through
the cable arrived, and it was read, we were all expecting Hollywood at least, and it said, owing to the eruption of Vesuvius, Baba has postponed speaking again. And we all fainted, still saying, we still have faith.
That play went down well.
Anyway, Baba was very amused.
He didn't mind our making fun of these things, you know, sometimes.
He had a sense of humor.
Oh, and how. Well, I don't think how much love could have borne it. How much love could have borne if we hadn't? I mean, sometimes the things, the most worst, most terrible things turned out to be quite funny. I think you can find that in the world now, can't you? Well, it hasn't altered. I mean, look at us all sitting here tonight. Serious is serious, and it's really quite funny.
did you learn obedience?
Little. Well,
in those early days, huh?
By learning what disobedience was.
How did that happen?
Oh, well, I think you heard the story of the Panchgani. You know, Panchgani is up in the hills just outside Bombay, and Baba said he was going away for a month, and I was then in charge of the household. I generally was in to do with the kitchens or the cooks or something or other when I was in India. And so Baba was away and I was in charge of the housekeeping, and then Baba came to me and said, well, now I'll be away 1 month, and on those 4 Sundays I don't want any cooking done while I'm away. You must only eat bread and no toast either, just bread and butter and tea twice a day. And Baba said, I'll be away for a whole month. Oh, and Baba said, will that be all right? I said, oh yes, that will be quite simple, Baba. We'll have no cooking done on the Sunday. And so Baba went off, and the first Sunday came and everything went very well. Everybody only took what they were supposed to take, and I wasn't asked for any favours. I was the in charge then. But before the second Sunday came, one person came and said, you know, I was really ill after last Sunday. My tummy wasn't right, and I really don't think I can eat this Indian bread. I think that I must have toast. So I said, well, Baba had said there was to be no toast of any kind. Well, she said, I'm not asking the servants to do any work because they're not to do any, and I haven't asked you to do it, but I'll make it myself. So I thought I went to Marnie and Mera. We were staying up in the hills, and I understood from them that it would be all right if we didn't employ anybody else to make the toast, but that we made it for ourselves. So that I said, went back and I said, yes, I thought that would be all right if they made it themselves. Well, that was the first Sunday. Well, that was the second Sunday. Then the third Sunday came, and more people came to me and said, you know, I have bad pains after eating that bread, that I think I really can't take it anymore on Sunday. And I really feel that I must toast the bread. And there I was in the soup, as you can imagine, and I didn't know what to do. So I said, well, you can make it for yourself, and perhaps that will be according to Baba won't mind that. Well, that was the second Sunday, and the third Sunday there were even more coming. And then on the fourth Sunday, Baba was back again. And so he called me and said, did everything go very nicely while I was away? Oh, yes, I said, Baba, everybody got on very nicely. I said, of course, there were some that couldn't eat the bread, and they had to have toast, but they had to make it for themselves. But Baba said, I thought I said there was to be no toast at all. So how is it that you even gave them permission to make it for themselves? So there I was caught, and Baba said, well, I don't call that obeying what I said. So that nothing more was said. Baba said, I'm not very pleased about that. But he didn't say anything else. And then when we came down from the hills back to Mehrabad, we were all called on one particular Sunday morning, I remember. And we'd all had an orange for breakfast. I remember that very well. And we were waiting. Baba had called a meeting at 9 o'clock on Sunday. Nobody really knew why Baba had called this meeting. And we were sort of walking up on the hill in Mehrabad. I had a funny feeling that there was something not quite right, but I wasn't sure at all what it was going to be. And then Baba began, and he said, I did tell Kitty that when I was away that there was to be no toast on the Sunday making at all. And now I come back and she tells me that some of you did have toast. And how was that? Wasn't that disobeying the order? And I stood there and I said, well, what could I say, you see? And so Baba said, well, I've decided that Kitty shan't be the housekeeper anymore, that she finds it too difficult for you to obey what I've said. He put it on that way. And so that I will find somebody else. Well, Baba knew that nothing would set me off worse than taking something away that you did and that you very much enjoyed doing for Baba, because that is your life of service for Baba, and he asked that this rule should be kept. So I felt very angry, and when Baba was telling me this, and he said, well, I've asked Katie to take over the
the job instead of your doing it. So I said, perhaps Katie will do it better and she'll get all of you to obey what I said, that no toast on Sunday, just to mention one thing. And of course that made me very angry. And I had an orange in my hand and I just threw it down at Baba's feet. And feeling very, very angry with myself. And of course I should never have done such a thing, but I did. And the upshot of that was that I was no longer the housekeeper, and that Katie was. That was I'd been housekeeper for 10 years, but that was the end of that story. But something nice, Baba always gives you the bitter and the sweet. This went on for about 3 weeks, and I was really very lost up on the hill because I had nothing to do. I was no longer the housekeeper, and I just felt lost. But it was a lesson to me. And then suddenly Baba called us again, and he said, "I've decided to go away with the up into the north, up to." Simla for some work, and I'll be taking the girls with me. And he said, "And I'll be taking Kitty with me to look after the girls." And I thought, well, that is the bitter and the sweet, wasn't it? That Baba had taken something away, but then he gave me something which was so lovely, to go up to Simla for a whole 6 weeks up in the mountains there with the girls. And I never went back to housekeeping after then. In fact, everything changed. And it was a different way that the ashram was run after then. And I remember that very well. And I can't think quite what I told you that story, what was it for?
We asked.
Oh, you asked for it, was it? Right. Right. But...
do you get?
That whenever we were quarrelling, Baba never let it be suppressed. He'd call us, have it out, just like he'd say. And then he'd say, give and take, or he would change the rules completely. The same sort of episode happened at Nasik, when Jean Adriel had a big upheaval with Norina. And we all were called in to give our opinions. And then Baba gave Ruana to be housekeeper and told Norina that he had a much better role for her, which I think was when they came to Cairns, she was looking after Meher and Marnie on the ship.
I beg your pardon?
I said, Baba never let anything be suppressed. He said, have it out.
No, he had it out. Oh, no, Ruano.
Margaret, once you mentioned about being with Baba in a gondola.
Oh, that was the most divine night of my life. Do you want to hear about it?
Please.
Well, this was right in the beginning, and Baba was teaching us slowly our faults and how to obey him. And we went to Venice. Well, I don't think Venice is the same anymore, but this Venice was just moonlight and the churches, the scenery and everything, just that and the gondolas. And the first night we got there, we went for a trip in a gondola. And Baba got into the gondola and called Adi. Then he called me and someone else. And we went out into the moonlight. Actually, it was divine, really divine, into the moonlight in Venice, of all places. And we were there for an hour, drifting up and down the stream. And the gondolier sang Italian songs. I tell you, that was one of the beauty nights of my life.